believe that that's a misnomer. I believe that first, before we can experience the filling of the Spirit, we must experience the emptying of oneself. And as we empty ourselves of ourselves, then the Holy Spirit comes in all his fullness. And so then, it is the poor in spirit that attains perfect happiness and experience the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. Listen again now to the words of our Savior. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit and enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. Brother, sister, are you poor in spirit? Now we come to the second blessed, and this, it to me, is very important. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now there are times when we are all going to mourn. It is with sadness that we heard of the passing of several of our brothers and sisters this past week. And into the homes of these individuals there has come sorrow, and there are those who mourn. This mourning will come to us all sooner or later. I remember as a boy of 14 years of age hearing that my dad had been very seriously injured in one of the coal mines. And then that was around 6 o'clock in the evening. And then 11 o'clock at night, we got word from the hospital that my dad had gone to be with the Lord. And I will never forget the sense of loss and emptiness, and I thought that my young life had come to an end. And I mourned the passing of my dear dad. He was only 39 years of age. And yet it was an amazing thing how that the Lord came in and took over. And I realized something that I had never realized before, that the Lord had said that he would be a father to the fatherless. And I thank God for the comfort that I received from him as I mourn. There is a mourning that can bring spiritual growth. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, but afterwards it brings the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And there is a mourning, and because of chastening, that brings spiritual growth. And it is wonderful in those instances to find the God of all comfort. And I like what Paul writes as he describes our wonderful God. He said, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies." It's amazing. "And the God of all comfort." And this is your God, and this is mine. And some of us here have felt his ministrations as we have mourned. And we also have known him as the one who binds up the brokenhearted. But I'm going to suggest to you this morning that this is not the mourning that is being talked about here. I believe that the mourning that we're talking about here is the mourning for the Son of Man's sake. It is the mourning that one's experience while walking in fellowship with Christ. You say, "But would you mourn if you walk in fellowship with Christ?" I think you would. I think if we were to look through the eyes of our Lord, at the condition of the world today, at the condition of the church today, we would mourn. I believe that if we felt through the feelings of Christ, that we would mourn today. And this is the mourning that is being brought before us at this time. Blessed are they that mourn. You know, there is a startling fact here, and it is this: we never read of Jesus laughing. Never in the scriptures. But we read of our Lord weeping on several occasions. Jesus wept. Can you imagine the anomaly, the miracle that Jesus wept? He shed tears, tears of grief, but he never laughed. The Lord was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Grief was his constant companion. And even though he came to his own things, and his own people would not receive him, he mourned, but in his mourning he was comforted, in that God the Father opened the heavens on at least three occasions and gave him messages. And while he mourned so and grieved so deeply in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord God sent an angel to comfort him. And beloved, those who mourn in a godly way will, because they mourn for Christ, will indeed be comforted. Weeping over the sins of the world. Have you ever wept over the sins of the world? Have you ever wept over the condition of the world? Have we ever expanded our thoughts and taken in what we know and what we see? How atrocious. There are things that are going on in the world today that ought to break our hearts. But so many of us are insensitive to the things around us. How many of us have ever mourned the fact that our Savior is being rejected in the world today? How many of us ever mourn as we hear his name being taken in vain? There are so many things that should cause tears to run down our cheeks. How many of us have ever shed a tear, beloved, when we think of the awfulness of hell to which some of our friends are going closer day by day? I'll never forget, as a young lad of perhaps 17 or 18, listening to John Ferguson, the father, at a conference where we thought that he would be giving a little soliloquy, and he gave us a description of hell. And I can hear the cries of the damned and the doomed in hell, even at this moment, as I heard so vividly on that occasion. I could see the smoke rising from the eternal and the infernal burnings. I could almost taste the sulfur as the smoke and the flames passed us. That impression has never left me. And yet, beloved, today we hardly ever hear of anyone describing the horrors of hell to which our friends are going one by one. And oh, that our eyes were sensitive. Oh, that our hearts were sensitive to the fact of hell and all its horrors. Yes, there is a godly mourning that we are not capable, seemingly, of today, especially not like the men of the Bible. Jeremiah, as he looked around and he saw the distress that his fellow countrymen were in, when he saw the sins of his nation, he cried, and he cried to God, and he cried, "Oh, that my head were waters." Ezra and Nehemiah, glorious examples as they saw the declension of their people. They sat down and they tore their garments. They covered their heads with ashes, and they wept and they prayed for days on end. They were so disturbed at the moral laxity and the departure and the declension that had taken place, even in that, in amongst those who had left Babylon and had gone back to Jerusalem. The psalmist David said that rivers run down my eyes continually as he beheld the waywardness of his people, and no doubt looked into his own heart. And dear brethren and sisters, may I suggest to you that many of our eyes are dry today because our hearts are dry. And oh, that God, by His Spirit this week, will touch us and move us to the very depth of our being. Tears, warning. I believe it was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, received a letter from two of his officers from one of the ghettos in London, and saying, "We've tried everything, but we can't get the work moving in this area." And that wise old general sat down at his desk and he wrote in reply two words, "Try tears," and sent it back. Some months later, another letter came. "Revival has broken out in this area." Their hearts of the officers were touched and moved to tears. They mourned in Christ. And God the Spirit acknowledged it, and revival broke out. Beloved, many of the great men that we love to read about, they were men of prayer. They were men of mourning. They were men who shed tears liberally. I'm thinking now of a fellow Scot called David Livingstone, the man who pioneered into the heart of darkest Africa and exposed its bleeding heart and with the atrocities of the slave trade. And David Livingstone cried with a breaking heart, "Lord, when will the wounds of this continent be healed?" But tears and mourning. John Welsh soaked his pillow as he travelled for souls. George Whitfield spent days and weeks prostrate on the floor, weeping in silent and vocal prayer. And all these men, beloved, were men that God used mightily in the extension of His kingdom. And perhaps the reason why there is not the forward thrust today among us is because we have ceased to mourn in a godly fashion. Mourn for the sins of the world. Mourn for the sins, our own sins, and mourn for the sins of our brethren and sisters around us. But many of us, yea, the most of us today, know only a tearless, passionless, soulless ministry. And that is the result, and that would be the cause of the dearth and the steric conditions in which we find ourselves. Oh, for men like Andrew Bonar, perhaps one of the godliest men that Scotland ever produced, as he studied in his study, which was on a main street in one of the principal cities, and he heard the raucous laughs and the laughter of the people as they passed hither and thither on Saturdays, going to the saloons and to the theatres and to the dance halls. He would drop on his knees, his biographer says, and cry out with tears, hot, burning tears, coursing down his cheeks, "Lord, oh Lord, they perish, they perish." There's no wonder that that man's ministry was fruitful. Beloved, do we know what it is to mourn? It is an anomaly here that it is those who mourn who experience the blessings and the joy and the perfect happiness and the perfect peace. The aged men are told to be sober and to be grave and to be temperate. And we need those men today among us. There's so much frivolity coming in, and we need stability. Paul, he looked in and he mourned. He says, "In me dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this vile body of death?" Praise God that that man was comforted in his mourning. And God so comforted him and strengthened him and empowered him and equipped him. And of course, he became one of the greatest propagators of the truth of God. Oh, that we could feel and know this blessed experience that those who mourn shall indeed be comforted. And as we've met together in conference this week, may those two thoughts permeate our being and our thoughts as we think of those who are poor in spirit. Those are the ones that are blessed indeed by God. And those who mourn are the ones who are comforted. May God bless his word to us all. Let us pray together. O God, our Father, we come before thee today, and we thank thee for the privilege that has been ours to expound thy word. Those things that thou hast been bringing to our notice are things that we very often miss and have missed, but we pray thee by thy Holy Spirit to show us what it is to be poor in spirit. Show us what it is to mourn with a godly mourning, a godly sorrow. And then may we each experience the blessings of the kingdom and know what it is to be comforted by the God of all comfort. We ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.